Wow, look at that. Eddie Olczyk is joining us right now. Edzo, who is not only one of the great figures in hockey in the world on the entire planet Earth, but also one of the key figures in horse racing broadcasting. He's also an owner. He is a man who's a great proponent of the sport, which I really appreciate because I've tried to be the same. And he's also the author of Beating the Odds in Hockey and Life, which is a book that people should read about your life, Edzo, and not just the glory of hockey, but really the incredible struggle of colon cancer, which obviously now tragically is back in the news after the weekend in which we lost Chadwick Boseman from that disease. Yeah. And, you know, it sort of puts in mind how difficult that disease is. People think, oh, well, it's curable, it's fine, and it's a really tough road if it is curable, and sometimes it isn't.
Well, Ro, I mean, I appreciate you having me on. I hope you're well, your family, all your listeners, everybody there at GN. You know, there's a lot there, but I think on the surface is, you know, me being very lucky to be a colon cancer survivor and having gone through the battle and you know, not knowing what was on the other end when I was diagnosed on August the 4th of 2017 at 7:07 p.m. And, you know, you hear stories like that, and, you know, all I continue to do, along with the support of my family and my wife and my friends and obviously the Blackhawks, is to try to be an advocate, try to be an educator, and if I can help one person get through the day, help them get through the process, or just give them a little bit of hope, then, you know, it's well worth me telling my story, or somebody picks up the book, or just, you know, to be able to talk about it, have that dialogue. So I appreciate that role of being able to have people take notice, because it can happen to anybody. It doesn't discriminate. And look, I know the world that we're living in right now, I mean, you know, everything, including the pandemic, you know, these are really difficult times for a lot of people, and praying for everybody. But, you know, I think for colon cancer in particular is that, you know, you got to know your body, and you got to know when to raise your hand and say, you know what, gee, something's not right. You know, whether it's a bowel movement, or you notice something after going to the bathroom, or saying, you know what, I need to go get a colonoscopy, and not sit there and push it off and push it off and go, I'll be fine, I'll be fine. Well, no, the fact of the matter is you won't be fine. Yeah. And I'm hoping that, you know, we can make a difference. And I appreciate you allowing me to expand on that, and just trying to help people through difficult times, not only what we're going through now, but in particular about colon cancer.
For sure. And you know, I just have to say, you know, getting to know you over these many years, and then right there in 2014 after your diagnosis, and we all, you know, were there with you and watched you go through it, praying for you, and to watch your incredible journey, the difficulty of that journey. And I don't want people to think in any way, shape, or form not to take this disease seriously. It's one of the top killers in America, and especially and for both men and women, but men get a little more affected by it than women. And it is a very, very serious thing. And I think it's just brought home when you have great success stories like yours. But those of us who were around you and know you well enough to know what you were going through, and you were pretty, I think you shared a lot of that, probably more than most people do, with your fans and with your audience. But it's still, you know, it's really, really unbelievably difficult process to go through. And when we hear the stories now of Chadwick Boseman specifically, and I know we're going to get to the Kentucky Derby in a second here, but this is important. When we hear the story of Chadwick Boseman, who he had been suffering since 2016 with this and was still working, and then you would see the effects that it was having on him and all the things that he was doing to try to get through it. I mean, and we talk about COVID and everything now, but there are still other things that we have to be concerned about. And you know, it's important for people to know, and you're 100% right. If you catch it early, you got a much better chance.
Yeah, and I think the you know, the ability to be able to go public about that role, because look, at it first, when I got diagnosed with cancer, colon cancer, it was, okay, well, how long do I have? I mean, really, flat out, it was like, okay, well, cancer, death, how long do I have to live? I mean, that was the question I asked to Dr. Mary Mulcahy, who was my lead oncologist on so-called Team Holchek when it came to the doctors. And, mm-hmm. you know, I was like, look, I'm here to, you know, I'm here to cure you, not treat you. Do you understand the difference? And for me, it was like, okay, it is literally one day at a time. And when you are, and I say this in air quotations of being in the public eye, and all of a sudden you go quiet and you go underground, you know, people start talking and what have you. And that's why we want to try to control the message, you know, through the Blackhawks and through NBC, and just say, look at, I'm sick. I'm dealing with colon cancer. And, you know, that was, I almost felt more relief, bro, when I went public with it, because, you know, I put my kids in a bad spot a couple of times where, you know, they weren't able to tell the truth when I didn't show up for something, or, you know, my wife having to tell a lie because I, you know, I had to cancel an appearance or whatever. But, you know, I think once I went public, it was like, okay, well, you know, my purpose now is to save somebody that is going to get, you know, who is going to be stricken by this disease. And it just doesn't have to be colon cancer. It could be any type of disease. But again, I think what we try to accomplish and what I will continue to try to do the rest of my life is to make people aware and to inspire them in some form or fashion, and hopefully stay away from it. And hopefully, you know, we'll rid ourselves of this horrible disease at some point. Yeah. And the only way we're going to do that is by communicating and talking and having open dialogue. And all of us to sit there and not, you know, sit there. Look at, for me, I look at flat out. I just tell people I couldn't go number two. I was constipated for 2 days, which was not normal in my life. And I didn't say anything. And the next thing you know, if it's not coming out one way, it's coming out another. And I got violently sick. And then that's when I found out. And, you know, I want people to know that. And like, it's not easy. You know, like, look at, I just, you know, like it, that's what happened. I couldn't go to the bathroom, and instead of going right away, would it made a difference in my diagnosis? Probably not. But maybe there were signs prior that I didn't take notice to that maybe would have prevented me from having to have being diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer.
Yeah, Edzo, couldn't be more honored, more blessed to have you here. All right, stay right here. We're going to come right back. I want to talk about the Kentucky Derby. Now we're going to have some fun. And it is a very interesting race. And I also want to talk about this idea that the Kentucky Derby might be moving. You know, there's a whole movement in horse racing to move the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown actually to this time of year, away from the spring, and for a very specific reason. We will talk to Edzo about that on the other side. But first, let's check in to the Northwest, to the Traffic and Weather Center. Here's Mary Vandeveld. Eddie Olchek is with us. Edzo, he is going to be calling the picks for the Kentucky Derby on Saturday, which is, yes, I know, it's going to be actually happening on Saturday. It's not the first Saturday in May. It is the first Saturday in September, but we're getting it in at Churchill Downs down in Kentucky, and it's an amazingly great field. And one of the things before we get to do your picks here, there's a movement in horse racing to maybe move this Triple Crown Festival of Racing into the fall and then have it pair into the Breeders' Cup, which is always around November, mm-hmm. so that you have these specifically so that these three-year-olds who are going to run in the Kentucky Derby, because that's what the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont are all about, is three-year-olds racing, give them a chance to grow up a little bit before they actually hit the track.
Yeah. Well, I have no issue with that, Roe. When you look at what's doing right by the equine athlete, you know, we're such in a hurry to see these horses run in their two-year-old campaign. And just for people that may realize or that maybe do not know, is that all horses change their birth year on January 1. So they may have been born in March of, you know, 18, but once it gets to, you know, December of or January of 19, they're automatically 1 year old.
Even though they're 9 months,
yeah. Do it in horse racing.
Right. Exactly. And some horses can be as young as 7 months old, not quite six, but 7 months old, 8 months old, 9 months old, when they turn to be 1 year old and then 2 year old, and they're not fully grown. They're not juveniles, right. But they're like right. Teenagers essentially at three.
Yeah. 100%. And I think, again, you know, the equine athlete doesn't have a voice. And I think the goal to this is, you're right, you touched on it, to be able to mature a little bit, not to be in a hurry to get him to the racetrack and maybe have a little bit more longevity when it comes to, you know, racing and doing what they're, you know, what they're bred to do. So look at, I'm all for it. Look at, all sports have changed, bro. We've talked about this off the air and on the air many a times, you know, like whether it's back in the day where they brought in the home run fences in baseball, you know, adding the 3-point line in the NBA, National Football League now is catering to offense where defenses can't, you know, clutch and grab on the, you know, on the line, on the line of scrimmage. Hockey, you know, less clutching and grabbing, you know, you have a shootout to end game. So, I mean, look at, you have to change, you have to evolve, but first and foremost, what is best for the animal, what is best for the game. And, you know, if you could stretch it out a little bit and put it a little bit later in the year, I'm fine. Look at, I would be okay with even just running the first Saturday in May, but then not having the Preakness for another maybe 3 or 4 weeks. And then maybe you wait another 3 or 4 weeks and then you run the Belmont.
Right. So give them a lot of time to recover.
Yeah, right, absolutely. Exactly. And then maybe get more horses running in the Triple Crown.
All right, you got 4 or 5 horses in this Kentucky Derby that's going to run on Saturday. You can see it all on NBC. And Enzo's going to be there giving you the best picks throughout that day of racing at Churchill Downs in Louisville. You got a prohibitive favorite right now in this race. Tis the Law. This is a really well-bred horse. He has run some incredibly fast numbers already in his young career. What do you make of him?
Well, if you want value, he's not the horse to play if you're going to bet him. I mean, he's probably going to be 2-5, meaning if you bet 5, you win 2, so you put 7 in your pocket. Now, if you're like Rokan and you bet 2,000 to win or 5,000 to win, you put 2,000, you put 7,000 in your pocket. That's a pretty good, 2 minutes of work, is it not? If you can make $2,000 in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, look at, he is the class of this race. I mean, he is the Patrick Kane of this Kentucky Derby. The one thing I will say, King Guillermo was also going to be in this race. He was going to be the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. He was going to be 11 horses. He just scratched. So now we're down to a field of 17 horses. And King Guillermo happened to be owned by former Major League All-Star Victor Martinez. He's just new into the horse racing game. But, yeah, look at, Tis the Law is the horse. You have to use him up and down, Ro. You really do. I mean, you're right. The numbers he's running, the races he's running. Now, I will say he is 6 or 7 in his career, which is pretty good. Yep. The only race he lost was at Churchill Downs last November, so a little food for thought there that was on an off track, but you have to use the 17 without doubt, Tis the Law.
Okay, let me just ask you very quickly here because I got about a minute left, but these horses, the best horses in this race, which are Honor AP, is in the 16 position.
Yeah.
You've got Tis the Law in the 17 position. You even have Authentic, which is another Bob Baffert horse, in the 18 position. Yeah. They're far out wide at the start of this race. Are you worried about their post position?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, Authentic's the fastest horse of the race, so when they break from the gate on Saturday for the Derby, you know, Authentic, the 18, is going to get the lead. I mean, that's just how he is. And Tis the Law has the ability to be able to sit back. You're right. I mean, look at that. I mean, the four best horses, most people think, were the 15 New York Traffic, 16 Honor AP, 17 Tis the Law, and the 18th Authentic. For sure. But look at, they're going 1.25 miles. They're running against, you know, 16 other horses. But the one horse I would like to give out, Roll, if I could, the horse that I'm going to use up and down in all of my gimmicks, my, you know, across the board and trifectas and exactas, I'm going to use a three horse enforceable.
Enforceable.
This horse has had a couple of bad, the three horse, had some bad post positions here the last couple of races. I think he's going to be able to get the distance. Look, some of these horses aren't going to be able to run 1.25 miles. That's just the reality of it. So he's probably going to be every bit of 30-1, so why not? So hopefully the three will run good for everybody. Enforceable. Do I think he can win? It's horse racing, so anything can happen, but I'm just hoping he hits the board. So number
Trick
three,
him up.
Enforceable for yours truly.
All right, Enzo, thank you very much. Appreciate it, sir. We'll leave it there. Thank you, my friend.
Stay well. See you, pal.
All right, we got news in 2 minutes from the Northwestern Medicine
there
Newsroom.
Are two-